Good morning. Good morning and welcome this morning to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you found your way to this worshiping community. A lot of great energy this morning. And friends, as always, there are ways to find out about more about how we are church together. Take a look in that bulletin. You'll see opportunities for worship, fellowship, mission, and learning. A few highlights just for you this morning. First, it is February. Yay. St. Joseph sign up is on the kiosk. So anyone who would like to donate food or their time and energy, please go ahead and sign up. And as you are in the hallway out there, you will also see the cards for our Jamaican travelers. They are crossing off those last few items on their packing lists. So please also send them with your wishes and prayers by signing those cards. All right, a few notes about after worship today. First, there will be a conversation in the adult lounge. For anyone who's looking for a safe space to talk about faith and politics, how what's happening in our world is being informed by who we are as followers of Christ, anyone is welcome to attend, and I will be facilitating that conversation. Also, confirmands, heads up. Remember, we are meeting at 3 o'clock today, and I know we've got a couple of zombie middle schoolers who will also be joining that, so we'll try to keep them good and awake. Also, tomorrow is the last day. It is the deadline to sign up for the Presbytery Church Leadership Development Day. Elders, deacons, and trustees especially. If you need more information, send me an email and I can forward you the form. All right, one other announcement, also important about today.
Good morning. The Junior High Youth Group is collecting soup and donations in support of the nationwide Super Bowl of Caring. We will be located outside of the sanctuary doors. Thank you.
All right, so your soup or any kind of donations, very welcome today. And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. In this Epiphany season, we are still people in the dark. Darkness looms large around us in fear, anxiety, and so much we cannot manage. We could be, people of God's light. Guide us, Lord, in your wondrous grace. Your love, justice, and peace breaking forth like the dawn.
Let us join our hearts together in a time of confession. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that our prayer, fasting, and pious ritual must be lived out in compassion and justice. God, when we forget the fast you desire, to do justice and stand up for the powerless, Lord, have mercy. When we forget the prayer you love, to show compassion, care for those in need, Christ, have mercy. When we forget the rituals you require to create relationships of righteousness and peace, Lord, have mercy. Friends, the love of God revealed in Jesus forgives us, heals us, and sets us free to rebuild, restore, and raise up foundations for new generations. Thanks be to God. At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. Good morning. How are you doing? I like your t-shirt. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, friends. Good morning. All right, just to make sure, any of you guys have high blood pressure? No? All right, we're good then? We're safe. All right, then this sermon is for you all, not for any of them out there who struggle with such things, okay? So here, I'm going to share a little something with you. Ready? Hold out your hand, just a little something. Let's see. Oh, that's a lot of something. That's all right. All right, I'll do this. That helps. There we go. Okay. Let's see. Do you want some? Okay. A little bit. There we go. All right. So who can tell me what this is? What is it? You guys all can tell me. Salt. Ooh, who said my favorite thing? Oh, it's my favorite thing, too. I love salt. I do. So tell me, what is your favorite thing about salt? What do you guys do with it? What do you do with it? You eat it, yes. What do you like to eat your salt? What do you put salt on? Tell me, what's good with salt? Corn. Tell me, what else? What's good with salt? French fries, chicken, everything. Did you know, I agree, caramel. Do you know that they put salt on ice cream now? I am in heaven. I love salt, and not just to eat. So can you guys, what else do we use salt for? Who can tell me, what else do you use it for? Salt scrubs. Ooh, getting fancy. That's right. We use it to clean our bodies. Yep. What else? Ooh, in art class to make texture. I love that. What else do you use salt for? To bake, yep. What else? To melt away snow. Thank you. We live in Rochester. I was hoping someone would remember. I know we haven't had a lot of snow, but we also use it to melt away snow to help make sure sidewalks and driveways and roads are safe to drive on. What else do we use it for? Salt lanterns. Oh, you'll have to tell me more about that later. I've never made a salt lantern. Cool. There are all sorts of ways that we can use salt, isn't there? And today in our story of the Bible, so with your salt, you can either throw it over your shoulder, you can lick it, whatever you want to do, or just rub it and put it on the floor. It's just fine. Just a little bit of salt. Jesus talks in the Bible today about how we are the salt. We are salt. We can be people who make the world better by helping to heal, by helping to make it taste a little bit better with kindness each and every day. We can also help make the world a little better. It's love and kindness with one another. So this week, especially tonight, if you're into the whole Super Bowl thing and you're eating lots and lots of salt, yeah, I will be too, don't worry, lots and lots of it, remember that Jesus tells us that we too can make the world better by being who we are and kind and generous and loving. So you guys remember that? All right, and if you need a reminder, stop by my office and I'll sprinkle a little more salt in your hand, okay? Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for making us the salt. Help us to spice things up and to live as your people. Amen. All right, you guys have fun in Sunday school. Thank you. Are you helping me up? Oh, you can give me a hug?
I can't.
You have kidney stones, then yes, definitely not a lot of salt.
The first reading of the word is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives it light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may seek your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Our second scripture reading this morning come from the words of the prophet Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? We humble ourselves, but you do not notice. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down like the head of a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this fast that I choose to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, to not hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry, satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. Your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. Satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Last Sunday, we had this amazing opportunity, the great privilege, to ordain and install and welcome the new elders and trustees and deacons of the church. In the Presbyterian Church, we've been asking those ordination questions you heard last Sunday to elders and deacons and ministers since 1967. I personally, I don't go back that far, but I have asked those questions 11 times, give or take. I've responded to those questions on three different occasions. One of those times, the most recent, being 6.5 years ago here in this sanctuary when I was installed as your pastor. Now, these questions are wordy, for sure. We don't always know what they mean. Presbyterians, probably since we first started asking those questions, have quibbled about what it means to adhere to the essential tenets. And that peace, unity, and purity thing, have we got a handle on that yet? But always by the end, we get to the question where we ask if we will seek to serve the people with energy and intelligence, imagination and love, and the smiles are just evident around the room. I felt a little different last Sunday. I've read these questions so many times. But there was one that really caught me off guard. I literally felt it catch in my throat, the weight of the words and their meaning, heavy with this sense of urgency. Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world. Though phrased as a question, those words were presented as answers. When I, in the entire service, asked the question of all of you gathered, what is God asking of us? You remember this from last week, right? Bright yellow pieces of paper. Only 6 words you had the opportunity to answer. But over and over and over again, as I went through all of those responses this week, the same words kept coming up. Love thy neighbor. Stop. Listen to your neighbors. Follow example of Jesus' life. To love thy neighbor as thyself. Love each other as Jesus did. Still love strongly in difficult times. We will seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love our neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world. And the question that I think hangs, at least I know, in my heart and possibly many of yours is, how? What does that look like? And this was made evident by one person's response, possibly very tongue-in-cheek, but I'll tell you what, it made me stop. One response was, I don't know, you tell me. I don't know who wrote it. I didn't ask you to put names on it, and that's a good thing. All right, so you ask, you have told, you have said, I don't know, you tell me. So this morning, lectionary, as lectionary does, presents scripture passages that sometimes are right on the mark of where we are at. The prophet Isaiah does not hold back in answering that demand, telling God's people what is being asked of them. Here's how you live it out. Share your bread. Bring the homeless into your house. Clothe the naked. Satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Loose the bonds of injustice and let the oppressed go free. The prophets, of course, are not known for mincing words or coddling the people. They give it to them straight. And we, as followers of Christ, know and experience for ourselves the inbreaking of Christ's presence, the Word made flesh and lived among us. And sometimes you get a little comfortable thinking that, oh, well, Jesus came. We don't really have to do this. He did it for us. When Jesus sat down with the crowd that followed him up the mountain, in the reading that Bridget shared with us this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, just in those verses before, Jesus had pronounced blessings upon the poor and the grieving and the hungry. And those familiar words we know as the Beatitudes. And he answers the question for the people, what is God asking of us with this radical ethic, this reign of God ethic, that the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the pure in heart, all of these are blessed, not because they are exemplars at following what someone told them to do, but because their hearts, their lives, their very being was oriented toward a love of God and a love of neighbor. In speaking with these people who he very well knows are the poor and the hungry and the suffering, he is at the same time deeply aware that the problems, the afflictions, the oppression and injustice of these people did not just magically appear one night. These were not people who failed to pull themselves up by their bootstraps or didn't take advantage of some opportunity that was made supposedly available to all. The people were embedded in deep struggles about what they believed God was asking them to do as a covenant people in the midst of cultural and political infiltration by the Roman Empire. And there was all this anxiety about what they were supposed to do now, that all these changes were around them, and they literally felt helpless, that there was nothing that they could do. In a sense, they too were saying, Jesus, we don't know what God wants us to do anymore. Tell us. Were they supposed to collaborate with the empire and take up their weapons to fight against it? And if they couldn't fight, which realistically would have been impossible given the sheer numbers and mass of the Roman Empire army, but that's what the zealots were advocating. And another option presented to the people by the Pharisees, the religious leaders, it was time to hunker down, right? We need to separate ourselves the best we can. We need to preserve this cultural and religious identity we have as the people of God. If they could just be faithful enough, keep their heads down, go unnoticed, follow the law, God would provide. God will save us. It was all about what God will do, what was going to happen in the future. The people were waiting for God. And in the meantime, they were debating about their best course of action until God acted on their behalf and Jesus sits down with them. And he offers them reassurance and challenge. He tells them to be the body of Christ, active in the world. And that means living not for these agendas of fear or censorship of weapons or building walls of isolation, exclusion, and separation. He simply says to the people, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. This is who you are. At this very moment, you are salt. You are this simple, still over there, commonly found but valuable substance that is used so much more than food, despite my love of it. It's used to seal covenants and bless newborn children. It's used during time of physical suffering to promote healing. You are the healers in this broken and hurting world. You are the repairers of the breach. And Jesus goes on to say that you are also the light of the world. In the midst of the fear and despair about how to respond to all the changes, there are many ways that aren't God's ways, but you need to trust that the light of hope, God's hope, is shining through you, right here, right now. This is who you are. So be who you are. Last Sunday, many of you all gave up a Sunday afternoon to be part of a conversation where Lori Ferguson asked us to reflect on who we, the leaders of Gates Presbyterian Church, believe our church, who we are. And so we told these great stories. I wish you all could have been there. About being at the old church, that journey that many made down Buffalo Road to our new location. We heard the stories about those first youth groups where we opened our doors to young people in the larger community. Friends, this was a radical practice back then. Remember the denominational divisions. You were Presbyterian, and that was it. Right? The Lutherans were over here, the Methodists, the Catholics. We don't mix a whole lot. But Gates Presbyterian Church said, come on in. We remain steadfast to welcoming all people, young and old and everything in between. We also had a chance to hear the stories about this church's commitment to mission, serving in the city, in rural communities, in Jamaica, Guatemala. These stories focused on social justice and peacemaking, speaking out to support the rights of all people, including people of color and women, the LGBT community, persons with disabilities, immigrants, and refugees. In fact, this church did more than just talk about it. Many of you might remember that our congregation welcomed and adopted refugee families in a time it was not popular to do so. And over the years, I have no doubt there were many observations and opinions, debates and objections to whether or not or how the church should talk about what is happening in the world. The bottom line has always been that we believe that God is asking us to follow Jesus, to love our neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world. So we did it. This is who we are. And we keep doing it. And there are variables that have changed over the years, right? Pastors who have come and gone, new hymnals and buildings and roofs. Good Lord, save us. But who we are, the core of who we are, our DNA, has remained the same. And we know that the world is changing. What it means to be church is changing. But there are some things that just don't. And in fact, Jesus gets a little bit snarky with his disciples as he points this out to them. He asks, how can salt lose its saltiness? Just think about it. Dilute it? Burn it? You do that and it's not salt anymore. You can't take the salt, the saltiness out of salt. And light, who is going to put light under a bucket? The light won't shine under there. It'll either go out or cause a huge fire. I'm guessing depending on what the bucket's made out of. But either way, you aren't shining if you're hiding under a bucket. You're just under a bucket. If you're salt, this is who you are. If you are light, you cannot help but shine. This is who we are, and we cannot be otherwise. And this is a profound gift that God has given us. It is the greatest gift that only God can give. The gift of who we are as God's people. And Jesus is proclaiming that we are again being affirmed by God to be healers and hope bearers, to be a reconciling community that God has created us to be by welcoming our neighbors who are marginalized. By being courageous and shining bright in all our efforts to follow Jesus, revealing God's hope and love in this world, wherever we go. We do know what God is asking of us, and this is who we will be. Amen. Thank you. The one to whom we turn our lives over has welcomed us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and hurts you bear, know that it is the host who teaches us, who heals us, and who welcomes us. Our Savior invites all those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He gave it to them and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise to you, empowering God. You established your creation like a watered garden, and when your people's hopes lay in ruins, you answered their call and removed the yoke from among them. You guided them continually and satisfied their needs in parched places. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and every place, calling upon you with hope.
In Jesus, you are the salt that preserves us with you forever, and you are the light that transforms the darkness of death. In the death and the resurrection of Christ, you repaired the breach between us, and you and opened the way of peace for all your people. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come and bless us.
Send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and the cup, simple gifts from creation which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. And welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life. With the Holy Spirit and your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took the common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people, like each and every one of us, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again. And he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it. So that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you and sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." We break the bread. We drink the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the promises of new life and faith to hope anew another day. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us joyfully share in this meal together. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Taste the goodness of God's grace." Jesus also said that I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, the goodness of God's grace is for all of us here and now. Taste and see.
Shape us to be your people in the image of your Son, to be repairers of the breach. Send us to be beside those who cry, among any who are afflicted, alongside all whose foundations lie in ruins. Bless your church, that it may bear the marks of its risen Lord. Amen.
And as we gather together in community, we also lift up in prayer with one another prayers of joy and the prayers of concern. If you have one that you would like to share aloud, raise your hand. An usher will be over with a microphone. And please, if you would, speak clearly and into the microphone so that we can hear you. And as they're making their way around, it's all right. We also hold in prayer this morning. If you saw from the back of the bulletin, Marge Westfall and Evie Ortman and Jeff Cheel, and also Bella Perkins, sweet little one who we have baptized in the life of this church, who's in the hospital and struggling with some issues. So we pray for Bella.
Keisha Bingo, prayers for a couple of friends who are going through some difficult times. My friend Kitty, who had surgery for breast cancer this week, prayers for her healing and her treatment. And also my friend Jane, her mom, Marie, is struggling with several health issues, and it's really difficult. Thank you.
Prayers for them.
Cheryl Fennell, prayers for my brother Al in Florida. He had a TIA and has lost the sight in his left eye.
Prayers for your brother.
Dorothy Munt, just two prayers for the Bush family. Nora is heading for back surgery, and Marjorie has just been transferred to hospice at Monroe Community. So prayers for them.
Prayers for the both of them.
You opened it up again this morning, and I do appreciate that possible way of extending the love we have in this church. There's some new people here today, and oh, can they hug? So we want them back again. I won't embarrass them, but she's smiling. I love it. So if you can, try to find a minute just to say good morning and hope you'll come back.
Thank
Bless you,
Rona. We also ask prayers this morning for a Gates police officer, Officer Lance Duffy, who I'm sure you all have seen had a heart attack, but continued prayers for him and the Gates police and also Officer Duffy's family. I would also ask prayers for a seminary classmate of mine. His name is Scott, and he is really struggling with cancer. So please pray for Scott and his wife Laura and their four children. And also from our children this morning, lots of great joy for Super Bowl pizza and birthday parties, for sledding on steep hills. I'm glad that was a joy and not a concern. Goodness. Prayers for a concern for a brother's upcoming haircut. Prayers for Bubbles the dog. Prayers for falling into a creek during skiing. Prayers, no, I don't pray for specific sports teams. We'll pray for both teams in the Super Bowl today. Prayers of joy for upcoming talent shows and vacations, and also prayers of joy for all our children who are involved in Scouts and also their leaders. It is Scouting Sunday. You'll see many of them dressed up today. So we give thanks also for everyone who is involved in making the world a better place. Let us pray. Holy God, may we be a spice in a world content with blandness, the zest that stings minds focused only on themselves, a tartness that awakens mouths. Let us shine our lights where there is darkness, a way out of trouble, a way to comfort the fearful. God, as we offer up the prayers that we have raised here, we also feel the saltiness of your tears and the light of grace that we can offer. We offer prayers for those that have been spoken aloud and also the prayers which only you know that rest in our hearts.
God, we give thanks for your love and your light that shines in this community and throughout the world. We pray together saying the words your son Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And let us with joy offer back to God a portion of what has been entrusted to us. Let us receive the morning offering.
Dear Lord, during the Advent season, you reminded us to let our light shine. Today, you ask us again to put our light on a stand, out there for everyone to see and to know. Use our gifts to spread the light and remind us that our calling is to remain steadfast in sharing you with others, maybe now more than ever. Amen.
Thank you.
what God is asking of us. So go, be the salt, be the light. Share God's love with all whom you meet. And go with that very love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit that it takes to do this work today and always. Alleluia. Amen.